With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. The Red Cross is asking for blood donations to support people impacted by Hurricane Debbie. The Category 1 storm hit Florida and the Carolinas in early August. Thanks to a new blood reserve system, donations from all corners of the country can more quickly contribute to disaster relief. WXPR's Hannah Davis-Reed reports.
In the aftermath of Hurricane Debbie, the American Red Cross has warned that the country is in a blood shortage. The storm tore through the southeast, and now disaster relief services are asking people around the country to donate at local blood centers to help meet their needs. The Community Blood Center in Appleton was able to help meet the need right away. That's because 3 years ago, it joined forces with other blood centers across the country to create the nation's first ever Blood Emergency Readiness Corps. John Higgins is the president and CEO of the Community Blood Center.
What we really needed as far as a network was the ability to respond very quickly when an emergency arose. And the best way for us to do that was to pool our resources so that not each one of us had to be prepared for every emergency.
The way it works is participating blood centers have committed to collecting extra units of blood on a rotating on-call schedule, so there's always an available supply for emergency needs. Over 40 centers across the country participate. Hagen says it has shortened emergency response times.
It allows that blood center to react and focus on that particular emergency. And again, deplete maybe their reserves a little bit lower than they would do normally, knowing that they're going to be backfilled from some of their brother and sister blood centers around the U.S.
However, the system only works when people regularly donate blood and platelets, so Higgins asks that eligible community members make an appointment at their local blood center. For WXPR News, I'm Hannah Davis-Reed.
A judge rules a court case can move forward for a Park Falls man accused of first-degree murder. 50-year-old Christopher Dyer waived a preliminary hearing that was scheduled Thursday afternoon in Price County Circuit Court. A judge ruled Dyer will be bound over for trial. The defense has requested a change of venue in the case. That motion will be heard November 11th. Investigators believe Dyer shot a woman in Park Falls on April 13th. Shortly after 4 p.m. that afternoon, Park Falls police got a report of shots fired near the 600 block of 2nd Avenue North in Park Falls. Officers found the woman dead with multiple gunshot wounds. Dyer had fled the scene but was captured later. He's being held on a $1 million cash bond. The Wisconsin Department of Justice Division of Criminal Investigation has been handling the investigation. One of the Wausau area men accused in the beating death of Donald Mitchell in a Stevens Point parking lot has been found guilty of reckless homicide. Mike Leichner reports.
Jurors deliberated for less than 2 hours before finding Arlen Sangster guilty on Thursday, concluding a four-day trial. Sangster is the first of the three suspects to be convicted of the charges, which carry a maximum of 46 years in prison. Witnesses say the group had been rummaging through Mitchell's vehicle, possibly looking to steal items of value, when Mitchell confronted them. He was then beaten multiple times and died from his injuries the next day at a Wausau hospital. Doctors said he had multiple fractured ribs and every bone in his face was broken. Sangster will be sentenced in December. Another suspect, Brandon Boehm, will appear in court next week.
That was Mike Leichner reporting. The Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest is considering fee changes at campsites. The proposed increases come after a recent market analysis. Karen Katz is the recreation program manager.
The proposed rates better match the rates at other federal, state, county, and private campgrounds. It's been several years since fees were increased on the Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest.
Many campsites are currently set at between $15 and $18. Under the proposal, they'd go up to $20 to $24. Enrolled tribal members will continue to pay no fees. The majority of the revenue from fees goes towards improvements, maintenance, and operations like weekly garbage and recycling pickups. The public has until September 30th to send their comments on the proposal. We have a link on our website, WXPR.org. Lakes will be busy places this Labor Day weekend. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources reminds people to keep safety in mind as they cast off. They encourage the public to boat sober and to always wear a life jacket on the water. 13 people have died so far this boating season, and 9 were confirmed to have not been wearing a life jacket. Alcohol use is also a concern. Lieutenant Darren Kuhn, DNR Boating Law Administrator, says alcohol affects people very differently on the water than on dry ground. He says the constant exposure to sun, waves, and wind increase the speed at which alcohol affects somebody while on a boat. Health officials say two people in eastern Wisconsin and one person in northeastern Illinois have died of West Nile virus. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services said Thursday that a third person in that state has also been hospitalized because of the mosquito-borne illness. The Lake County Health Department and Community Health Center in Illinois say three people in that county tested positive for the virus over the past 7 days. One of the victims experienced symptom onset in mid-August and died shortly thereafter. West Nile virus is commonly spread through the bite of an infected mosquito. While most people don't experience symptoms, about one in five can develop a fever, headache, body aches, vomiting, diarrhea, or a rash. Investigators say an inmate found dead at a maximum security prison in Wisconsin was strangled in his cell. Sheriff's deputies were called to the Green Bay Correctional Institute on Tuesday evening for a report of an inmate who wasn't breathing and found the 19-year-old inmate dead at the scene. An initial investigation determined he had been killed in his cell, and detectives identified his 24-year-old cellmate as a suspect. The sheriff's department said in a news release Thursday an autopsy revealed the inmate had been strangled. The department said that the inmate and the suspect had been in the cell together for only hours before his death. For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.